an aspiring photographer named Joanna and her husband move from New York City to a small Connecticut town called Stepford. Everything seems normal and quaint at first. Casseroles and dinner parties where everyone is dressed to the nines and overwhelmingly polite. Over time, it's clear to Joanna that Stepford is not all that it seems. The women are obsessed with cleaning and catering to their husband's every whim, and lack any intellectual interest of their own. In the final monologue of the 2004 version of The Stepford Wives, Glenn Close's character, Claire, reveals her motivations for creating robot versions of her female citizens.
A world of romance and beauty, of tuxedos and chiffon, a perfect world.
And all I wanted was to make you, all of you, into perfect women.
Because I was just like you, overstressed, overbooked, underloved. I decided to turn back the clock to a time before overtime, before quality time, before women were turning themselves into robots.
Personally, I prefer the 1975 version of The Stepford Wives, where Joanna actually confronts the robot version of herself. To her horror, robot Joanna looks just like her, with unimaginably silky hair, wearing a sheer nightgown with larger breasts than real Joanna, and a serene smile playing across her lips. But that's just it, isn't it? She's not real. She can't be real. A woman can't be real unless she has thoughts and opinions and needs and ambitions of her own. What if I told you, you could have everything you ever wanted? These things, as they often do, come with a price.
It doesn't keep me honest, comforting you, and know the breath you like to take.
This is a podcast about multi-level marketing. Each episode, I cover their inner workings, origins, and nuances. I try to answer the question, is this the opportunity of a lifetime? Or the illusion of one.
And takes you to a perfect form of
night. My name is Jill, and you're listening to Opportunity Cost.
Tell you, Emmy, what I need.
This is a harsh kind of business and will require a harsh kind of man to see to it.
As this topic is particularly litigious, I need to make a quick disclaimer. This podcast contains my opinion. Everything in this podcast falls under fair use. No claims made about MLMs in general necessarily apply to the particular company I'm discussing in this episode. No statements made by distributors or former distributors in this podcast are necessarily representative of the company's views. Coming up on Opportunity Cost.
Your dream is your baby. You don't lay down and ignore your baby, and you can't lay down and ignore your dream. This is the most important thing you've got going on right now, okay? When you're in the grocery store shopping, you should be thinking about your dream. You should be thinking about, I wonder if that lady right there has a Mary Kay Beauty Consultant. And be obedient in that. Be obedient. If God's nudging you to call somebody, that's who you need to call right now.
I want women to earn money commensurate with men. I want them to be paid on the basis of what they have between their ears and their brains, and not because they're male or female. But at the same time, I would like women to remain feminine, because I have found that it's an asset to be female in a man's world.
The starter kit was $50, and she said, you know, we'll take a check. And so I said, well, I really don't have the $50 extra. And she said, well, that's why you need to do Mary Kay.
Why did I do it? I spent hundreds and thousands of dollars in this company that I never got back. It's like leaving a cult and trying to communicate with people that are there. You're not allowed. That's what it felt like.
Mary Kay Ash was born Mary Kathleen Wagner in Cypress, Texas, a small community outside of Houston. During World War II, she sold books door to door and later married her second husband, George Hallenbeck, where she was first introduced to the world of direct selling.
We might say that the sun never sets on the Fuller brush dealer. He is America's most famous visitor, the real friend of the housewife, because the things he sells serve her household and personal needs better and more economically than any similar products that she can buy.
At this time, direct selling looked a lot more like door-to-door sales, which was popular in the 30s and 40s. Representatives knocked on doors and offered catalogs for people to order. The retail landscape looked nothing like it does today. And depending on where you lived, access to niche products was limited.
Our business is growing. We are marching ahead. Are you in the parade? We are fine and dandy. How are you?
Mary Kay went to work for Stanley Home Products in 1939, also an MLM, and was frustrated when she was passed over for a promotion in favor of a man whom she had trained herself.
Today we're talking with Mary Kay Ash from Dallas, Texas. She is founder and chairman of the board of Mary Kay Cosmetics. She's sitting here before me in a beautiful pink ultra suede suit.
Well, in 1963, there was no such thing as a liberated woman. You walked two paces behind the boss, and getting into the executive suite was absolutely out of the question. Women were simply not considered for those positions at that point. And since I had trained any number of men for those positions and then found them to be my superior in a few months, I thought, if I can train them, why can't I do that job? And so Mary Kay Cosmetics was born.
Shortly after her husband's death, Mary Kay opened a storefront in Dallas in 1963. Avon, which was popular around this time, competed directly with Mary Kay for product sales and for the pool of available consultants. Mary Kay positioned themselves as a better opportunity than Avon because their salespeople make more commission per unit. However, a Mary Kay lipstick was double the price of Avon's, and hence, Mary Kay made twice the profit. Mary Kay leveraged the house party model of her former company, Stanley.
I think we're getting a really, really nice look.
If you haven't heard of Mary Kay, you soon will. The products bearing her name cannot be bought in a store. Like Tupperware, they can only be bought at an event, usually held at a friend's house.
We're going to dye here. Here.
The Mary Kay here. Beauty consultant, she is never called a saleswoman, might invite half a dozen people to a beauty demonstration. She is not a Mary Kay employee. She is a freelance businesswoman who buys the cream or tint or goo wholesale from the Mary Kay plant and then sells it at a profit over the dining room table.
Representatives would invite friends over for a free facial, then pitch the products and the opportunity.
And so I went out, bought the formulations, put it with my marketing plan that would give women an open-end opportunity, and the objective was to help women over just to do anything they were smart enough to do, really. Okay. Because I've always felt that, well, when God made man, he was just practicing.
Mary Kay spins a tale of feminine emancipation, but I'm not convinced that it's altruistic. And in fact, I believe Mary Kay plays into stereotypical gender social attitudes, devoid of nuance and critical thinking.
Hello, hello, hello. If you're here, you probably just started your Mary Kay business. Welcome. I'm so glad you're here. Mary Kay is so glad you're here. And the women whose lives you're about to change, they're so glad you're here.
Starting out in Mary Kay, there are several starter kits to choose from, a few that come with some selling resources and a few samples, starting at $25 to $35, and a larger kit with retail-sized products at $75.
So when I was introduced to Mary Kay, I was working in a salon.
This is Nancy, a former high-ranking distributor in Mary Kay. She started with the company in 1970.
And she came in and she started telling me about a new skincare product that she was using called Mary Kay. And she said, I really would like to get your opinion on it. So basically, she showed me how to put a Mary Kay party together. And she also said, if you have enough sales, you could get your basic skincare for free. So when it came time for Jerry basically to close the sale, the starter kit was $50. And she said, you know, we'll take a check. And so I said, well, I really don't have the 50 extra dollars. And she said, well, that's why you need to do Mary Kay.
I managed to get my hands on a new recruit workbook, which is a comprehensive sales guide released by Uplines to their team members to help onboard and train. One of the first things they teach is to have their reps open up two bank accounts. One bank account called the pink account and another called a green account.
When you bring that money home, you've collected $100 plus the amount of sales tax that your state charges. You've got that money. Let's pretend like you've got it in your hand. 60% goes back into your business. 40% is your paycheck.
60% of your profit goes into your pink account, which is used for inventory purchases, and 40% goes into your green account, which is used to pay business expenses and pay back loans for your business. A small line underneath this explanation in the workbook says, quote, "You will not go into debt using only the funds available from your sales." This philosophy hinges on the idea that you're actually making some profit from product sales. Mary Kay is asking you to put the majority of what little profit you may or may not have right back into Mary Kay. This 60-40 split works well as a recruitment tool for uplines who are making bonus checks from their downlines and making a lot of product sales, and they can use this to show new recruits that their business is profitable.
And then she sat there and she showed me how much money she'd made in that short period of time. And I was very, very intrigued.
Having this tool helped me recruit because I could prove to people, even though I was a brand new consultant, even though I didn't know everything about Mary Kay, I was selling product because we know the product sells itself when you put yourself in front of enough people. And so I was recruiting. So people were going, gosh, it's working for Beth in her situation. So it grew my confidence. It helped enroll the support of my husband and the people around me, and it helped me recruit.
This workbook also says it's important to understand that in order to be profitable, you must have enough inventory on your shelves to give your customers the service they deserve. Until you are fully stocked, more than likely, you will find it necessary to reinvest 100%. The general rule is that $3,600 wholesale on your shelves is a comfortable profit level.
Now remember, there is no inventory requirement to start or maintain a Mary Kay business. However, inventory can be an important part of your success. One of Mary Kay Ash's favorite expressions was, "You can't sell from an empty wagon." She was so smart. Cosmetics and skincare are emotional, in-the-moment, impulse buys. You see it, you try it, you want it. Having a level of inventory you're comfortable with helps to provide faster and better service to your customer. That's powerful. When you have what they want, it saves you time and makes you money. And you become the beauty consultant who always has what they need when they need it.
My skin is different than
my skin.
And my skin is different than
my skin. But we all have one thing in common, Mary Kay.
Mary Kay is a scientifically formulated skincare system created to work with your type of skin
and taught to you by a professional Mary Kay beauty consultant.
To find the Mary Kay beauty consultant nearest you, look in the yellow pages under cosmetics.
Because every skin is different. You need skincare that's different. You need Mary Kay.
Mary Kay has gradually added on to its lineup of products. Now, they have thousands of products, men's lines, perfumes, and a massive array of skincare. Mary Kay likes to say, everyone has skin, everyone has a need for these products. That falls under the assumption that Mary Kay reps can compete on an equal playing field with MAC Cosmetics, Sephora, Ulta, Amazon, Target, and various other smaller cosmetic companies. In this digital age, what's the purpose of stocking up on every single product when you can order for your customers online? At the first rank, consultant, to remain active, you have to have ordered at least $225 wholesale in the last 3 months to receive commissions. At the very next rank, senior consultant, you have to have 1 to 2 active recruits, and you also make a $50 bonus when a new recruit makes an order of $600 and above. So, right off the bat, it would make sense for uplines to encourage new recruits to invest more into their businesses. From here, the ranks increase in complexity, commissionable volume percentages, bonuses, along with qualification requirements for perks like the infamous Pink Cadillac program.
I've got that Mary Kay enthusiasm up in my head, up in my head.
Every morning around 9:30, a Pink Cadillac turns the corner into a parking lot on Corporate Row in Dallas, Texas. It slips into the reserved space along with the other Pink Cadillacs. Pink is the color of success at this company. And this is space number one, reserved for the chairman of the board. And out she steps, the chairwoman in this case, herself, a symphony in pink.
According to Mary Kay's own website, approximately 1.5% of consultants reach a high enough status to qualify for this program.
Mr. Kramer, you like Cadillacs?
Yeah, I like Cadillacs. Why? What do you got on your mind?
Take that pink Cadillac Eldorado over there.
It's a Mary Kay car.
Mary Kay? Mary Kay car. Right.
Well, listen, I'll see you later. Thanks for driving me by.
The way it works is you purchase a custom-ordered pink vehicle from Chevrolet, and the company provides a bonus to put towards the payment, as long as you remain in qualification for the bonus. Churn and turnover in these types of companies is astronomical, what we call in business attrition.
Mary Kay Consultants are celebrating the birthday of the company's crown jewel of the roadway. This is amazing, the pink Cadillac. Very nice. More than 40 years ago, Mary Kay Ash requested her first pink Caddy at a Dallas dealership. Consultants say it's hard to describe the excitement that comes with earning that career car.
When I got my very first Cadillac, it felt like I had arrived. It was so exciting. So when you bring home a pink Cadillac and it arrives in your driveway, your community goes from, she does Mary Kay to, she does Mary Kay.
John M. Taylor, in his study on MLMs, concluded that a minimum of 50% of recruits drop out within a year. And over a period of 5 years, that number is more like 95%. If you qualify for a car program with Mary Kay, the odds of more than half of your team leaving is pretty high. And that leaves you on the hook for a high interest car payment. In workbooks provided by uplines across the country, in Texas, Michigan, Oklahoma, Iowa, and the list goes on, there's something that keeps popping up in scripts called the Husband Unawareness Plan. One such script reads, quote, "For your shopping convenience, you can use Visa, MasterCard, Discover, check, or cash, or a little bit of each so your husband doesn't find it." Another reads, quote, "I also accept cash, check, any combination of the above, and payment plans. And, if you're married, I operate on the Husband Unawareness Program, which is a little over here, a little over there, and then you smuggle it in pieces." Yet another says, "I know you have all had your husband come home from Best Buy or Home Depot and said, honey, we really need it and it was on sale for $5,000 and they're bringing it in right now." Nod your head, raise your hand. Okay, so this is no big deal because ladies, when you decide you deserve it, because you do, then you will go home with your roll-up bag and be able to feel confident and great about yourself every day and be able to transfer that to all the important people in your life. I'm here to help you get what you deserve. Okay? Great. Now, I don't know about you, but I don't think it's particularly sound to advise people to keep things, especially financial purchases, a secret from their partners. I would consider this plan an anomaly if it didn't show up in countless scripts across the country with almost the same verbiage.
If you want to get a sense of something special, then you must attend the annual Mary Kay Seminar in Dallas. 8,000 women pay their own way to come to Texas for this crowning event in the life of a Mary Kay person.
Mary Kay is somewhat famous for their events. You have to qualify for these events, which in some cases cover your ticket, but if you don't qualify, you can purchase one. Usually, your airfare, travel expenses, hotel, and food and drink isn't covered.
There's no company in our country that's going out there and saying, we have room at the top. We want to bring you in, and we want to equip you, and we want to move you up as fast as possible. They're sending you emails and saying, bye-bye, you make too much money, and you cost us too much money, and we can ship this overseas, or we can do it in the United States for cheaper. We're celebrating 60 years. I'm not talking about the finances of seminar, because I know that you have figured out how to finance more expensive things than 3 nights in 4 days in Dallas, Texas. Let's talk about teachers that go back to get a master's and pay $35,000, $40,000 a year for a $500 a month raise or something. Wow. Get a starter kit. We can teach you how to do that in a year, and you're going to have no debt attached to it. You guys, I want you at seminar for the 60th anniversary. I want you to know what you're part of, and I want you to have Mary Kay in you so that when the going gets tough and you get disappointed and frustrated, quitting is not an option.
She's making a lot of comparisons to industries and jobs that guarantee you a salary, and in some cases guarantee a raise if you go back to get a master's degree. In Mary Kay, there's absolutely no guarantee that you'll make any money at all. It's deceptive to capitalize on people who are traditionally underpaid in their jobs, with the presupposition that she's all about empowering women, and how dare you spend money on something that actually helps your career.
They had a convention the next month, and I was pressured into going.
This is Terry, and I found her story on TikTok about joining and attending a Mary Kay event.
And then you're pressured into, well, you have to be all glammed for the end of the thing with the entertainment and the ball and all that crap. So I bought a dress. It was an expensive dress and shoes. And I went. I had to pay for my own hotel room. I had to pay for my way to get up there. I had to pay for my own food, which is fine if I'm not expected to buy all this stuff there. I bought a lot of stuff there. It was terrible. I don't know why I went. And the bad thing is that it was around the time of my anniversary, my wedding anniversary. So that went over well. But I chose Mary Kay over my wedding anniversary because that's what I did. That's what they tell you to do. You are pressured into attending these functions.
At actual corporate events, there are keynote speakers with opposing viewpoints, time for workshops and breakout sessions. This encourages meaningful debate and original thought. MLM events are by contrast motivational, which encourages a kind of groupthink, an assumption that the audience already agrees with whoever is on stage.
And now, it's time to announce our 2023 Go Get Award winner for this seminar. Are you ready?
For a Mary Kay consultant, these awards mean everything.
Beth Lang!
There are sashes and ball gowns and crowns. Yes, legit crowns.
I am so proud of you, ladies. When I look at you, I see light. I see hope. Hope is what you have extended to everybody that you have come into contact with. You're changing lives on a daily basis by being who you are and doing what you do, which is open your arms and your hearts to everyone. And that's what it's about. And you are the epitome of what Mary Kay Ash wanted in her sales directors and what the true meaning of Go Give means.
If you would ask me, what is it that women need across America, Australia, and Canada, I would have to say it's confidence. Here's a woman who's never had any praise at all for anything she's ever done. Maybe the only applause she ever had was when she graduated from high school. She wants recognition. So we praise her for everything good that she does. We praise our people to success.
When was the last time that someone in your household, or your family, or within your peer group told you that you were special and great and deserving of awards and recognition? When was the last time a whole crowd stood up and clapped for you? It's not an experience that I imagine happens a lot in everyday life. That kind of craving for someone, anyone, to tell you that you're doing a good job, I imagine that that could be persuasive.
Dear Lord Jesus, thank you for this time. Thank you for your word. Thank you for the Holy Spirit. Thank you for revelation. Thank you for not giving up on us when we have bad attitudes, when we're apathetic, when, you know, we're at the end of our ropes, Lord.
Many, many Mary Kay trainings begin with prayer, Bible verses, or in some cases, a mini sermon from the leader or upline. And they tie that lesson or scripture into some behavior or Mary Kay-ism that they want to impress upon their downlines.
The promised land is amazing. There's giants there for sure, but God's with us. The other 10, they gave a bad report. You don't allow the 10 to give a bad report if it's not in line with what God's told you. I love in this virtual world, we can really contain who's saying what to who. I lost a lot of consultants and directors to adoptees that didn't do their Mary Kay the Mary Kay way. Oh, you know, July's a bad month of Mary Kay. December's a bad month of Mary Kay. This has been a tough season, you know, virtually, you know, people aren't doing well. Moses let the people be plugged into the 10 who focused on the giants, focused on what it looked like versus what God had promised and what was their allotment. And they never got there. There's a lot of people who never get to their promised land because they believe those poor reports. But something that's helped me a lot is I have not paid any attention to what other people say.
First off, I don't believe this woman is ordained in any kind of church or denomination. And second, doesn't it seem strange that she would be making these kinds of sermons on a call that's supposed to be about business? Mary Kay herself made it a point to pull her religion into the company as one of its main tenets. God first, family second, Mary Kay third.
I sincerely feel that we are not as smart as the balance sheets would show, that God has blessed this company beyond all belief for the simple reason that we came along at a time when women were coming into their own, and he wants you to become the beautiful person that he knows he created.
Do you think that's really fair in terms of marketing to inject God into it as though there was some religious experience involved in either working for, buying, selling?
Let me say this. I really feel that our company is where it is today and has been blessed beyond all belief by the fact that God is using our company as a vehicle to help women to become the beautiful creatures that he created.
But do you think, in a sense, you're using God?
I hope not. I sincerely hope not. I hope he's using me instead.
This actively ignores the large groups of people who are agnostic, atheist, or followers of other religions. I believe that there's a reason Mary Kay chose to bring Christianity into her business plan so overtly. Christians, especially evangelical Christians, are used to looking for signs from God in everyday life, and they're taught to go out and make disciples of men, or attempt to share the word of God with non-believers. Evangelicals in particular can be voracious in their recruitment of other people, and have historically created or been involved in outward-appearing agnostic organizations that have an overtly Christian presence, like the Boy Scouts, Young Life, or Mothers of Preschoolers, and in some cases use them specifically as a recruitment tool. So it wouldn't be uncommon for believers to experience the overt Christian presence in Mary Kay and think nothing of it. In my opinion, it's extremely dangerous to wrap up your spiritual identity into every social or business interaction you have, especially in multi-level marketing organizations, which encourages their sellers to see every customer as a potential new recruit.
Have a sense of urgency.
Your dream is your baby. You don't lay down and ignore your baby, and you can't lay down and ignore your dream. This is the most important thing you've got going on right now. Okay? So have a sense of urgency. When you're in the grocery store shopping, you should be thinking about your dream. You should be thinking about, I wonder if that lady right there has Mary Kay Beauty Consultant. And be obedient in that. Be obedient. If God's nudging you to call somebody, that's who you need to call right now. And I've always trusted. I've always said, Lord God, if you will do the heart work, I will do the footwork.
If you're being manipulated by a person or a group of people into behaviors that you wouldn't normally do, and your faith is tied up in that, how do you discern actual truth from the teachings of faith that your upline is giving you? What happens if you're debating whether or not to leave Mary Kay, but you've also decided that everything that happens in your Mary Kay business is a spiritual lesson? How do you untangle your personal belief system from theirs? There's a somewhat old school notion of what it means to be a Mary Kay consultant.
My objective was just to help women. It was not to make a tremendous amount of sales. I want women to earn money commensurate with men. I want them to be paid on the basis of what they have between their ears and their brains, and not because they're male or female. But at the same time, I would like women to remain feminine, because I have found that it's an asset to be female in a man's world.
They extol the behavior and norms presented by their founder as something to be strived for, not thrown away as archaic.
Look like a beauty consultant. Don't look like you need a beauty consultant. And so Mary Kay was very, very adamant about our image. And I don't know how many people on here went to seminar and saw some of the outfits at seminar. But I'm telling you, somebody did not have a best friend that would tell them how bad their outfit looked, or how short their skirt was, or how tight their skirt was. That was always a big thing to me, was we were told, pretend that Mary Kay is on your doorstep when you walk out the door. And I took that to heart, because opportunities will come when you are ready for them and looking for them. So it's okay to stand out, as long as it's with good taste.
It's an asset to be feminine in a man's world. Dressing correctly will make business come to you. The former is a patriarchal view of a woman's place in the workforce, and the latter is manifestation theory with no evidence to back it. The obsession with the way that their consultants look, I believe, stems from a general reverence and deification of their founder, which has been there from the very beginning.
Annette, how are you, darling?
Mary Kay Beauty Consultants are only seen carefully coiffed and made up and wearing dresses, never jeans. Other corporate giants walk on stage. Mary Kay levitates.
She's a brass band, she's a harpsichord, she's a clarinet.
I loved that Mary Kay said in the early 60s when she started this, that she saw women either burning bras and not wearing any clothes, or dressing like men so they could be paid what men were paid. And Mary Kay wanted to help women be paid what they're worth, but she didn't think that dressing, you know, in an unfeminine way would help them be paid more. And you know what? Mary Kay was right. Because when I started in the mid 80s, women were making like 76 cents to every dollar a man makes. We just heard stats. It's now up to 82 cents. So you dressing in an unfeminine way is not helping you be paid more.
In my opinion, if these consultants actually cared about fighting for gender equality, they would be spending time advocating for unionization and collective bargaining, fair wages for all, and not participating in a predatory business model that requires recruitment in order to be paid what they think they're worth. Recruitment is the cornerstone of building what they call a sustainable Mary Kate business.
People that are great moms want something for themselves. They want their identity. And that is key. That is so important to point that out as well. And, you know, recruiting is just sales. Like if you were to go to sell a product, you would find a need and fill it. You would ask them their skin type. You wouldn't just walk into a skincare class and just throw some stuff on a tray and say, slap that on. Well, stop recruiting like that. Stop recruiting like you're just slamming some facts against them. You know, when we're looking at these people's lives, usually the champion people that are the unicorns, they are so busy, but she really doesn't have something for herself. Women want something for themselves.
Mary Kay women are supposed to see every interaction out in the world as an opportunity to recruit.
Oh, you don't have any money and you don't have any time, but you're not going to do anything about it. All right, figure out, Debbie said, figure out how to get your money in that account because you're signing up tonight because I can tell that you're supposed to be doing this. Like, really, you tell me all the reasons that you need a Mary Kay business. You have someone that Mary Kay Corporate's going to pay you to teach you how to do this. It's already been successful. And you're unwilling to what? Miss a baseball game or a social event or realign your finances to be able to invest in and start your business to be able to change your life?
This is anti-feminism, disguised as feminism. Women don't need to be recruited into a model where 99% of people lose money. They need, as Mary Kay put it, to be paid commensurate with men.
Why did I do it? I spent hundreds and thousands of dollars in this company that I never got back. They say you can return any of your inventory and get your money back, but who's going to, I mean, I didn't do it because I didn't want to do it. I was embarrassed. And then if you return it, you can never be in it again. It's like leaving a cult and trying to communicate with people that are there. You're not allowed. That's what it felt like.
Mary Kay's 2022 income disclosure reads, quote, "A typical participant in the Mary Kay independent sales force does not earn any commissions or bonuses. 98% of Mary Kay consultants made $208 or less, which does not include any business expenses or taxes paid out by consultants. At the time of her death in 2001, Mary Kay was worth $500 million. In 2022, the organization's revenue was $2.7 billion. Joanna, in some of her final confrontations at Stepford, goes to her friend Bobby's house to ask for help to leave Stepford. Joanna discovers that Bobby is no longer herself as she once was.
Bobby, stop it! Look at me! Say I'm right! You are different, your figure's different, your face, what you talk about, all of this is different!
Yes, yes, this! It's wonderful.
What does archaic mean?
Archaic?
Yes.
I don't know.
Think! You used to know when we went to Marie Axel's and she was ironing. She didn't know, but you did.
Did I? Well, I forgot.
I don't draw any of these comparisons to deduce women who rear children and remain outside of the workforce to mindless robots. Quite the opposite, in fact. I draw these comparisons to illustrate the world that Mary Kay thought that women should be living, which is a life dedicated to Mary Kay herself and the ideals that she held close, God, family, and Mary Kay.
With my arms unfurled.
With my arms unfurled.
Waiting just for you.
Waiting just for you.
Welcome to our world.
Welcome to our world.
Mary Kay's perfect world is a world seen through pink-tinted glasses, where women dress a certain way, act a certain way, and prioritize their lives a certain way, so that they, too, can be renewed, transformed, a better version of themselves. So, is Mary Kay the feminine emancipatory tale of a generation? I'll let you decide. Don't you see that man is lying to you? He's in your mind now, don't you let him fool you. What's distracting you on every screen? While we dance around, his hands are clean. Opportunity Cost is brought to you by Blow Studio. It is produced, edited, and hosted by me, Jill. If you have a story to share, email me at blow.studio@gmail.com. That's blow, blow.studio@gmail.com. Follow me at opcostpod on Instagram. That's OPPCOSTPOD. Thanks for listening. Haven't you had quite enough?